Now, this morning we want to give you a chance to hear from some of the candidates who are standing for the European elections. Joining me this morning, the Green Party, is Claire Bailey. Morning to you, Claire.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning to you, Claire. You're the leader of the Green Party. Robert Hill from UKIP. Morning to you, Robert.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning, Robert. The Conservative candidate, Amandeep Singh Bhogal. Morning to you. Oh, we're still trying to get him. The independent candidate, Jane Morris. Morning to you, Jane.
Good morning.
Morning, Jane, and the independent candidate, Neil McCann. Good morning to you, Neil.
Hello, Stephen. How are you?
I'm doing okay, thank you. Thank you for asking. Thank you. You're the only one that asked, Neil. Full points. 10 out of 10.
Wait, no, I want to say, how are you, Stephen? I hope you're very well.
Yes, that's better, Jane. Thank you. Right. Why don't we start, Claire, with you and tell us why people should be voting for your party at the European elections.
Well, Brexit is a huge issue, of course. It's going to be the defining issue in where people are going to consider placing their vote in this election. And I think that it's politically, what we're seeing over the past couple of years is that it's politically impossible to deliver on Brexit. We've had 3 years since, almost 3 years since the referendum, and still no agreement at Westminster. And now we're hearing about Theresa May is going to stand down and we're going to go under our third Prime Minister in this whole debacle.
There was no mention of Brexit in your manifesto.
No, our manifesto is a European-wide manifesto. So we have Green parties right throughout Europe and the world, of course. So it's based on a European campaign that we've all signed up to. Now, under normal circumstances, that wouldn't be an issue. But, of course, we in Northern Ireland have been bounced into participating in these European elections because Brexit is so unworkable. So I think, but GP, the Green Party here have been really clear.
What do you mean you've been bounced in? What do you mean you've been bounced into the European elections? Do you not want to be in them?
Of course, but the brutal. Been preferable. They have been in them from the start, you know, and the whole of Europe have been campaigning in this campaign and have their candidates out doing the campaigns while we were under the impression that we weren't there. So we got short notice and we're taking part in a very late stage of the campaign. That's what I mean by being bounced into them. You know, but we're very clear on where we stand on Brexit. We campaigned to remain. I voted to remain. Northern Ireland voted to remain. And we continue to believe that that is in our best interest.
And there you have it, Robert Hill. Northern Ireland voted to remain. And you want to go against the will of the people here?
Well, that's a load of nonsense that's put out by the BBC all the time.
It's a fact.
How do you say that's nonsense? That's actually the truth.
Hold on, let them answer. Hold on, Neil.
Hold on.
Let's let Robert speak.
But he says it's nonsense, Stephen, and the figures are completely clear.
I mean,
Just a warning, Neil. Stephen, will you challenge him, please?
Neil, just a warning, okay? If you don't let me host this and me drive this, then I'll just pull down your fader, pal.
Even I was told I could come in on...
You could come in, but you can come in when I need to be able to chair the debate. I'm sure you will agree with that. Okay.
Of course.
Robert Hill, it's not nonsense, it's fact. The people of Northern Ireland, the majority of them voted to remain, and your party wants to go against the majority of those who voted to remain.
Okay, for a start, this wasn't a Northern Ireland vote. This was a UK-wide vote. 17.4 million people, the largest vote in British history, voted to leave. That is a fact. And if you want to talk about Northern Ireland, are we going to split it up even further?
Mr. Hill, nobody disputes that.
Oh, my goodness. Will you let me speak, please?
Well, we're not splitting Northern Ireland up any further, but the point is the majority of people in Northern Ireland, Robert, voted to remain. Why do you think they got it wrong?
Did East Antrim vote to leave? Did South Antrim vote to leave?
North Down.
North Antrim vote to leave. You know, if you're going to keep splitting things up, this was a nationwide vote, 17.4 million people. The biggest vote in the UK history voted to leave. Why are all these other parties denying the will of the majority of people in the UK?
Could I come in there?
You ran the local council elections last week, didn't you? And you got 100 or many votes?
154
votes.
May I come in there and say that Mr. Hill forgets that there has been devolution.
Are you asking a question, Stephen, or is this just a free-for-all?
We're allowed to participate, Mr. Hill, and if you feel that you should control this...
Well, you were asking about my personal vote. Now, is that going to lead to a question, or is this just a free-for-all?
Hold on.
It's a debate. It's called a debate, and people can come in and a debate.
Can we calm all this down, please? Because we want to be able to get some substance out of this today. Robert, what I'm trying to get you to explain is why do you think so many people in Northern Ireland voted to remain?
Well, a lot of that is to do with the scare stories, the black propaganda throughout there, people like yourself from the BBC. You can't see
Mr. Hill, were you in Northern Ireland when the campaign happened? Were you in Northern Ireland to know this, what you're alleging?
I live in Northern Ireland. What are you talking about?
Were you in Northern Ireland at the time?
Stephen.
I live in Northern Ireland. I've been in Northern Ireland from 1967.
Yes, you are appealing to the chair. And the chair is saying, please, let's calm this down. And I'm now going to go to Jane Morris. Neil McCann, I'll come to you in a moment. Jane Morris, if we get into the substance of this, the bottom line is that democracy, according to some, is going to be completely undermined if those people who voted to leave are not having their vote honoured, which is get this country out of the EU.
Hear, hear.
There is a very important difference that is taking place now, and that is we are 3 years since the referendum. There is absolutely no doubt that the will of the people of the UK is changing. There's absolutely no doubt. There's absolutely no doubt that we need another vote. No, it's not nonsense, sir. Could you let me speak, please?
Well, you kept interrupting me. I thought this was a debate.
Could I please speak? Could I just say, if you say it's nonsense, prove me wrong by going to the people's vote. You prove me wrong. What are you so scared of going to a people's vote? I'm going to stand for Remain.
I'm talking to the people every day of the week. And they're telling me the complete opposite from what you're saying.
Well, put it to the people. Let's find out. What are you scared of?
This referendum is putting it to the people.
That was 3 years ago, sir. That was 3 years ago.
Yes, and it still hasn't been enacted.
What about all the
young people? You have denied the will of the people.
What about all the young people?
Oh, forget about the old people.
Hold on now, Robert. Robert, hold on. Let's let Jim finish, please.
Go ahead.
If you believe that you are right, why not simply put it to the people and prove yourselves right?
Because it's already gone. Because, Jane, it's already gone to the people.
Democracy doesn't end.
No, but usually what happens in a democratic process is when a majority vote for something, it happens, and then if you want to change it, you vote again. But you don't not implement it. It hasn't been implemented, Jane.
They've been trying to make it happen for the last 3 years, and they can't. Just look what's happening in Westminster. There's constitutional chaos.
Now tell me this, Jane Morris. Why are you running? Why don't you leave it to some of the bigger parties?
Because you know very well.
The bigger Remain parties.
I'm one of the most experienced of all the candidates on European affairs. And I've been promoting Europe in Northern Ireland and Northern Ireland in Europe for 25 years. And I've been very successful. Look at the peace programme. I was one of the architects of that, and billions have gone into that.
Aren't you?
I've been.
And how did Northern Ireland benefit from that?
From the peace programme. I will say something very important. People like you don't know enough about it, and I am the one who should be telling you about it. The peace programme was put in place by Jack Delors at the beginning. Back in 94, 96 it started, and it's been funding cross-border, cross-community projects to support the peace process since 96, and we have just agreed to extend it no matter what happens after Brexit. Now, that's vitally important for Northern Ireland.
What happens after Brexit, it will be extended.
Yes, and you don't know that. It should have been in all the news.
I know it's been in all the news, but you're making the point for the Brexiteers. It's been extended no matter what.
That's just the peace programme.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Well, what about the farmers? They've got all their subsidies. That will not be extended. The Treasury has said they may. I think they've promised to do it to 2022 or something.
Yes.
But what happens after that? And what happens to all our infrastructure? The European, what? Did he say the European Union won't exist after that?
It's already crumbling. Have a look around Europe. Have a look in France.
I cannot believe
you've heard of the Sea Lady Arm.
Okay.
Not even.
Now, Neil McCann, we'll come back to you in a moment, and we need to come back to Claire Bailey as well. But yes. The independent candidate, Neil McCann. Morning again, Neil.
Stephen, yes, good stuff. Stephen, incidentally, what's your take on the parity of time for candidates on that whole? I mean, obviously, you've heard a bit of the noise that's going on about candidates deserving equal time. So, the parity of time issue. What's your own?
You're getting
take
time
on that,
now. Why don't we talk about the issues rather than you trying to?
This is an issue. This is an issue. Are you going to deflect that one? Are you?
Rather than you try to run the program, why don't we talk about?
But I will try to direct some of the attention on it. Yeah,
You want a reformed EU. What type of reform do you?
I want greater focus on the great issue of this election, which is the climate warming, the climate change. And, I mean, it has been rightly said, mostly by the Greens, I have to say, to, acknowledging Claire. I mean, I embrace the Green agenda thoroughly. But, I mean, the young people are telling us it is the planet is warming. And you can leave every other issue, we can discuss it up and down, but if it is not safe, and if we are not in a place where our delicate enough climate, in this most amazing the configuration of all the physical conditions of the oxygen in the air, of the proper temperatures for us as a human race to survive, this is almost a mind blowing issue, and so the European Union.
So that's your headline policy for.
It's actually not my headline policy, but it's actually the most important policy for everybody in the election, and I think for every party and for all the people concerned. And if we're listening to the young people of what they're saying, and I mean they have to project properly to when they're in their older years. They know, young people know better than we know about this. It's touching them emotionally. It's touching them in their hearts. We have to listen to them. And so, what I really want to do is the union. To take this issue of warming far more seriously and to draw resources.
And this is what you mean by a reformed EU?
Oh, this is part of it, yes, of course. Well, why would
and what specifically would you change?
More measures.
Oh, what specifically would you change?
A new treaty on climate warming.
And what would that new treaty say?
It would say that more measures need to be taken in shorter term to reduce the emissions.
What more measures?
To scale up. The measures to restrict the use of fossil fuels, for example.
By how much?
Pardon?
Restricted by how much?
But at least 50% more than the current figures.
By when?
Their targets are set at present by the Paris Accord, and I would like to see them doubled.
Doubled from what to what? What are the figures?
Give me a few minutes and I'll Google it all.
Hold on now.
If you're going to ask me, if you are going to ask me for scientific detail on a morning programme, where, by the way, incidentally...
Well, that's your top line. Your top line is you want to double...
I want to double Paris Accord.
That's not
fair. Is that clear enough for you? Yep.
You want to double it.
Double is clear enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Stephen, what
by when? Sorry, Neil. Double it by when?
In the time frame. To shorten the time by 50%. Yeah.
But shorten it to when? Sorry,
Stephen. These figures are for the bureaucrats and the scientists who advised detail to get down and do a treaty. Sure. Paris Accord is very good.
And is that achievable to double it by sometime when?
It is achievable to do it far faster than it is now. And not only is it achievable, it's imperative. We have to do it.
Stephen Nolan is yesterday is when you want it done. That's how you answer Stephen Nolan. Because this is a big problem. They're trying to pick figures, but figures are bandied around all over the place. And then they're challenged and somebody says, she said it wrong, so she must be wrong, or he said it wrong. Don't do figures. Tell the people that we would like the climate to be start being improved yesterday.
So, Claire Bailey, your top line would be climate change too. So when do you want, what are your targets for climate change?
Stephen, it's not my top line, and will you stop saying it?
Well, and I think that
what I'm hearing here, we really need to be mature enough to start speaking with some honesty over vitriol. And in terms of a people's vote, we know that Brexit is politically undeliverable. And I think it's rather naive to hide behind the notion that the people have spoken and now we need to deliver, because I see it very differently. I see Brexit as something that the people throughout the UK have split on right down the middle, and that the, all the devolved regions have split on as well. And now we're seeing that Westminster are just unable to get any consensus to try and move forward. So the only way that this will be solved is if something is put back to the people and let them have the final say over that one. Now, in terms of climate,
I want to ask Claire about climate change. So what are your targets on climate change, Claire?
Yeah. So Brexit aside, the biggest threat that we all face right now is mitigating against climate breakdown, because we know that we only have 11 years before we are into irreversible climate breakdown. So that's the real emergency, and that's where we need to focus, because it's here, it's now, and it's happening.
How does this fit into the European elections?
Sorry?
How does this fit into the European elections?
Well, in terms of, Neil has just mentioned the Paris Accord there as well. And, you know, climate change is going to force loads of changes across this island, across Europe and across the world. And we're going to have to renegotiate how we're doing. So Europe has to lead the way on climate action by making the Paris Agreement an absolute reality. So we are calling for the EU to pursue all possible efforts to limit the temperature increases to 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial levels, and that's setting targets on carbon, for example, by at least 55% reductions by 2030, and that is urgent, and that is going to require some.
And how do we do that? Like, what would have to happen in Northern Ireland to get on the road to doing that, literally, practically?
Yeah, we need to start looking at our energy, not just the consumption and where we're getting it from, but we need to start looking at how we reshape taxes. We need to, you know, start...
So how would you reshape taxes?
Okay, we would not be supporting any taxpayers' funding going to fossil fuels, for example. So Europe needs to phase out coal by 2030 and all other fossil fuels.
So for those pensioners, for example, who use coal, you would cut their winter fuel allowance, would you?
Well, we have a whole fuel poverty crisis here. We have more people dying of fuel poverty through the winters.
But the question is, for those people who are using fossil fuels, would you cut their winter fuel election?
Okay, it's not one or the other, Stephen, because it has to go hand in hand with a whole just transition. We need to start implementing and updating the Green New Deal. So in terms of a just transition, what we need to be doing is investing in new technologies, in new industries.
Robert Hill, Harwood.
Jobs and you know, making homes energy efficient and warmer, as well as trying to reduce fuel costs.
Robert Hill, how would UKIP save the planet?
By getting us out of the European Union would be a
good
start.
But what would your green policy be?
This isn't about green policy, this is about Brexit.
But the question to you is what is your policy on green issues?
Well, I don't think there's an overall green policy.
Do you have any policy on the environment?
Well, things like plastic pollution certainly need to be dealt with. That's one of the biggest problems.
How would UKIP deal with plastic?
Well, we need to find an alternative.
And what would that alternative be?
An alternative source of... Like, why don't we go back to black glass bottles instead of all these plastic bottles that are getting thrown away?
Why don't we go back to glass bottles?
Yes. Is that hard to understand? Do you not remember them, Stephen? You took them back to the shop and you got 10p for it.
We've heard me challenge some of the others today about what reductions they feel there should be in greenhouse gases and things like that. What reductions do you think there should be?
Look, let's stop the scaremongering. Well, where the world's going to plunge into. Oh, dear, dear, dear. You know.
Well, Robert,
this is like the Millennium Bug. Do you remember that?
Global emissions is like the Millennium Bug.
No, the stories that the BBC and the Green Party put out are always over exaggerated, and how the world's going to end in 10 years' time because of this and because of that.
But he said Europe was going to crumble. He said Europe was going to be crumble by the end of the year. Is that right?
I said the European Union, not Europe.
The European Union was going to crumble by the end.
Yes, it's already crumbling.
What's your date
on that? It's falling apart.
What date would you say it
was? The European Union has fallen apart.
Can you give me a figure on when?
Oh, the sooner the better.
Oh, for God's
sake. How's UKIP holding together since Nigel Farage started the Brexit Party?
The Brexit Party aren't standing in Northern Ireland. And the Brexit Party, we all know, is just an escape valve for the Tories, who know that they're going to suffer in these elections. So they've transferred some of their candidates over to the Brexit Party to try and steal UKIP's votes.
So,
and then as soon as the election's over, they will simply jump back.
Jim, we'll let you come back in one second. But Robert, you would offer the EU continued tariff-free trade, wouldn't you? How does that work?
How does it work? You sell us your stuff and we'll sell you yours and we'll not put any tariffs on it.
And Jim, would that work?
Well, that all depends on whether we're in the customs union or in the single market, because the difference is if the single market, you need standardisation if we're selling back and forward. So we need to have exactly the same rules and regulations if we're doing that. And the customs union, the tariffs, it depends on whether the WTO allows it. But I want to go to that, because you asked on the green issues, and that is something in my manifesto, because I think how we deal with it is use the wonderful skills we have on Queen's Island, the aerospace technology, the marine technology, put it together, make us be the European producer of wonderful windmills to change. And we could seriously be the climate change.
How efficient are windmills?
How efficient are windmills?
Yeah.
They are the solution, one of the solutions to cutting greenhouse gases using solar and marine energy. And we should be developing much, much more than we have. And that if you go over the ocean to the continental Europe, you see wind farms everywhere in the sea, and we should be producing them here. I mean, Scotland, Northern Ireland, and Donegal could be seriously the climate change champion of Europe, because we could be producing the technology here. And our universities are brilliant. And by the way,
Northern Ireland's going to turn into the wind farm champion of the world. My goodness.
Well, in fairness,
Neil McCann.
No, I'm having aspirations.
Neil McCann.
Lately, and around Fermanagh and all, you'll see how effective windmills are. Lots of windmills, and most of them carefully placed around the whole area, all doing very well. This is a great place for wind energy. It really is. I mean, that's a non-issue at this stage. You know, ask the farmers, a lot of the farmers who've let windmills go up on their lands, they're all generating a reasonable income for themselves as well as helping the grid with renewable produced electricity. That is certainly part of the future, and it's also moved towards electrical vehicles and maybe the reduction of vehicles, more common use of vehicles, more walking, more bicycling.
We only have a few minutes left. Neil McCann, I'll start with you. What's your key message to people of Northern Ireland over Brexit?
I have two things. One is a series of local citizen forums throughout Northern Ireland over the coming years for us all to meet each other well and collectively without loading in favour of any part of the community or any of the old tribal allegiances, so that we get to know each other better, and out of that we give direction to the leaders of this land as to how things are going to re-establish. And the other thing is that we are asking, will you hear me out for about 30 seconds, not even 30 seconds, is that we want the Republic to provide a subsidy to the social welfare budget of Northern Ireland to ensure that there is no drop in the social welfare payments in the north, and that there is some raise. People will know that the south does far better in social welfare payments than the north. So we're asking the south to step in and help the neighbour.
Neil, thank you. Jane Morris, your key message to people over Brexit.
Vote Jane to remain. We want a people's vote, but that people's vote must have a deal which gives special recognition to Northern Ireland to keep us in the European Union as part of the UK. And that means all the benefits. We should not close the door on the best trade deal we have in the European Union, but we must not slam the door in the face of opportunity of our young people. And that's the most important thing, is we must keep that door open. We must stay in the European Union. I'm campaigning for that. I've been doing it for 25 years, and I'm not going to stop after I get elected. I'm going to keep going and then campaigning for a people's vote, get the people's vote, and get the whole of the UK to stay in.
Jim, thank you. Robert, your key message over Brexit to people of Northern Ireland.
If you're one of the 17.4 million and growing number of people that support Brexit, UKIP is the only voice in Northern Ireland for you. Please vote UKIP on the 23rd of May.
Thank you, Robert. Claire Bailey, your key message over Brexit to the people of Northern Ireland.
I stand with the majority of Northern Ireland who voted to remain and believe that that's still the best outcomes, and I will campaign continually to have that. Because Brexit is absolutely unworkable. And while it's great to hear everybody taking up the green voices and the green issues, my call is if you want green, vote green number one and send Northern Ireland's first green MEP to Europe to join the green bloc to mitigate against what is here and what is our biggest emergency, and that is climate change.
You four have exhausted me today. Claire, thank you. Robert, thank you. Jane, thank you. Thank you very much, Neil. Morning to you all.